This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, Chicago with Saturday in the Park. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han. It's the 2nd of July, which means we're in the second half of the year. Very exciting time for four of us.
Yeah, all of us, certainly. And especially for those who are counting down to Christmas there. And yes, we did a quick check. Sharad, you're absolutely correct. We have seen 26 weekends so far in 2018. Oh. May the remaining 26 weekends in 2018 be kind to us.
Yeah, and of course,
I live for the weekends.
What, you know what is even more important are the long weekends. How many?
Yes.
You know, I have friends who have the entire year mapped out in terms of long weekends. So he said to me yesterday that in September, we can look forward to two long weekends. And Joyce, you know them.
Yes.
Why do we have two long weekends in September?
Malaysia Day, and there's another long weekend.
Hari Raya Haji.
So, if you take just a few days of days off, you get a week or a week over. Just over a week is pretty good.
Well, yeah, because we have the Yang Dipertuan Agong's birthday on September 9th, so we'll carry that over into the Monday. So that's one. And also, yes, Malaysia Day on the Sunday as well, so that will give us an extra day on Monday. But we don't have to wait that long, because on August 31st, Hari Merdeka, that is on a Friday. So we've got another week, a 3-day weekend prior to September.
Well, you know, this our enthusiasm for work displayed evidently in our search for long weekends in September. So, yeah. This is July, there's August, and then it's 3 months away, right? Nevertheless, you know what would actually provide us with even longer weekends? If robots took over our jobs.
Right.
And, if that happened, the whole year could be a weekend.
But your whole life is a weekend.
The question is, then how would you pay for your groceries?
Right, yeah, look, this is an existential question, I guess, for, mankind then, because so much of our purpose is derived from jobs, because, think about it, right? Our entire lives are mapped out. You get raised as a child, you go to school, you prepare yourself for the workforce, and then you spend most of your adult life working and contributing back to society, and then you retire, right?
Contributing to yourself and your bank account.
Contributing to someone and somewhere out there, right? But at least you're contributing. So now that there's the rise of the robots taking over a whole range of jobs, everything from flipping burgers to even doing some surgery, right? So, what then is the purpose of human life, human existence?
Well, I don't know if surgeons are going to be on the chopping block, but we do know there are some diagnostic tests used to rely on medical experts to kind of do, now are done better with a greater accuracy by algorithms in computers. Hedge fund managers also might be, replaced by algorithms.
Yeah, that's right. So what then, for us, right?
Yeah, there's this story in the Financial Times that asks the question, would basic incomes or basic jobs be better when robots take over? So that's the question here. What they're saying is that apparently what they found is joblessness makes us unhappy, but lack of money is only part of it. It's not so much of not having money that makes us unhappy. It's also, in a way, if you read the story, it shows that, it's worth noting that two recent studies of lottery winners in the Netherlands and Sweden, both of which found that big winners tend to scale back their hours rather than quitting their jobs. So you can see that they're still holding on to their jobs because it's something for them to do,
right?
In a way, it's not that they need the money, but just to keep them occupied.
Yeah, so again, it goes back to the purpose, right? Now, I have read some articles about, in this, or for some, utopia of never having to work and never having to, earn an income because the government takes care of it all, say like a universal basic income of sorts, then what happens? So they've actually come up with some pretty wild ideas. So for example, having humans find their purpose in this abstract virtual reality world and, having our basic physical needs then being met by these robots, It's quite fascinating ideas that are being thrown out there right now.
Right. I mean, just on the point of universal basic income, I do believe In fact, it's not designed to get people off work.
No.
What it is designed is to make people feel secure.
Right.
So when you have a universal basic income, you could still be working. In fact, what they have found in some contexts with the universal basic income, people are actually inspired to work as well. It's not a disincentive to work. But what it will do is provide you a kind of safety net.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing, the idea that there's a precariousness with jobs today that we didn't have at the start of the 20th century. And that needs to be addressed because it does seem to fuel things like populist and especially fascistic extremist politics in even the developed world.
Yeah, you know, I was using the term universal basic income in the scenario provided whereby we no longer have to work because of these robots. And then I guess it's a UBI on steroids of sorts where we, you know, no longer have this need to go and pursue financial gain. So that's taken care of. Then what? You know, then where do we find our purpose? How do we occupy our time?
It's about finding purpose, and also to make sure that you're not just sitting around. And, you know, there's this saying, a wandering mind is an unhappy mind, or you know, just keeping...
Idle hands a devil workshop.
but just to keep you occupied and a sense of purpose, I think that's important. If not, you know, what are you going to do?
But there's also this other issue, and I say, you know, the government could take care of your basic needs, but people and you know, it's demonstrated on an almost daily basis in Malaysia, people need their bling bling, right? They want to acquire things that give them social status, right? So they want to be better by than other people by showing off their goods. So I can't imagine the government distributing luxury items, for instance. So luxury might still be an incentive to work extra, you know, above and beyond the basic income that you get.
Yeah, maybe those bling blings could come in the form of, I mean, virtual reality as we move away from this physical world. I mean, that's one of the...
Like a bling, like a virtual pink diamond?
Yeah, well, basically think Matrix.
You mean live in a VR world?
Yeah, you know, think about the Matrix. Think about Ready Player One, the recent movie by Steven Spielberg. There, you know, some are saying, some futurists, as they call themselves, they are saying that's the eventuality that the human race has to brace themselves for.
Yeah, you know, if you've heard of Second Life, that's an attempt to create a virtual reality, and there's an economy to it, and you can build things and you can buy things and you can earn money and you can trade. And I think for some individuals that becomes quite obsessive. So there are people who kind of set themselves up in what they call Second Life.
Right. But then, you know, taking a couple of steps back, right, is it sad, if I may use that adjective, is it sad that we find so much of our purpose in work? Is that a good thing, or is that, you know, I mean, shouldn't there be more to life than just work?
Yeah, maybe. But when you think about it, I think work was essential to life. I mean, people didn't work, you know, out of choice, as it were. They had no choice. Without laboring, either hunting or gathering or farming, as that developed within human societies, these were necessities. Otherwise, you starve to death. No?
Right.
Maybe it's just a word, work, but it's just something that you do. It doesn't have to be coming to the office to do something. It could be, like you say, farming or raising kids, or, you know, it's just things to do, things to keep you occupied and give you a sense of purpose. Right. I think that
is
what...
Well, farming is real work. I mean, it's not unless you're a gentry farmer.
Or some people enjoy it. I mean, it depends on what... I know some people who don't work, but they're doing something that they enjoy. They don't need the money, but they're doing something that they enjoy, but it's not like a job.
Right, but now that we are given the choice... Right? So should we still, you know, find our life's purpose in work?
Well, okay, let's talk about toxic work culture next. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.